Folks, I am really excited to talk about our newest sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, also All-American Used Cars and Trucks. Two really, really good businesses. I'm going to start with Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust. You know, it's hard to find a good mechanic. It's hard to find somebody that you trust. And, you know, long before this situation came about, we had been taking our cars to Ruiz for a year, year and a half, and they've done great, great work. They're honest. They're upfront. They can do everything. They, you know, take care of your motor, take care of your brakes, tires, oil, so simple stuff like oil changes, brake pads, mufflers, whatever you may need. Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust are going to take care of it for you. If you are in the Omaha area and you are looking for a quality, reasonably priced, customer-friendly situation, you're not going to regret giving Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust a chance here. They are located at 4839 North 90th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68134. You could give Esmeralda a call up there. Her number is 402-317-2572. And they'll get you taken care of. I'm saying this as a customer. We literally do not bring our cars anywhere other than Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust for anything that we do from this point for the last year or two. So again, another business here, All American Used Cars or Trucks. If you're in the market for a used car or truck, go check out Juan Carlos's business there. 144th and I-80, 14706 Schooner Road here in Omaha. Go check it out here. If you're looking to exchange a car, buy, sell, trade, whatever it may be, you're going to get an honest deal from honest people. So go check out Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust and All American Used Cars and Trucks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to the coaching staff, episode number 112. We are, of course, sponsored by Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust and All American Used Cars and Trucks. Just brought in my daughter's car last week. Did a great job as always, just south of 90th and Fort, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, fair prices, good people, good work. Go check them out here. Tony Viss will not be checking them out because he's in Cedar Rapids, and unless he's hanging out at my house, if you ever get stuck in Omaha, Tony, and you need some car repairs, that's where you need to go. Yeah, that's where.
Right. I will definitely keep that in mind. I got an oil change scheduled for Fridays.
Yeah.
Wish I could do it right there.
You just try to keep it together, buddy. That highfalutin lifestyle you're leading there, you know, like oil change on Friday. Next thing you know, you'll be having them change your windshield wipers.
Yeah, I thought about even rotating the tires. I thought that's a little too dangerous.
That's a step too far, my friend. A step too far. Episode number 112. We have got some numbers. Pretty good run of quarterbacks here, Tony. Jim Kelly, Joe Namath.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Late show.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Stabler.
Snake.
Yes, the snake. Roger Staubach. And some Brady guy. Anyway, whatever. He kind of just sailed off into the sunset, but a couple infielders here, Roberto Alomar and Wade Boggs. One of the great guest appearances on my favorite television show of all time, Cheers. I've got four basketball players, Tony, and they are all retired. Three post players and a point guard.
Okay. Let's see here. 12 for a post player. Let's go with Wilt Chamberlain.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Wilt number 12.
Nope.
Okay.
Two of them played for the Lakers, though.
Okay. Two retired post players for the Lakers. I know Kareem was 33, so let's not go with him. How about George Mikan?
Nope, that was 99. Let's see here.
Whoa.
One of these post players was more well known for his time with the Sacramento Kings. That should give you that one.
Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac is one. This guy only played with the Lakers. He had two separate stints with them, but on his second stint, he won an NBA championship in the bubble.
Ooh, Dwight Howard.
There it is. Yes. Two down, two to go. Had to retire earlier than he wanted to because of a heart issue. Trailblazers and Spurs.
Oh, that was LaMarcus Aldridge.
There you go. And maybe the greatest point guard ever. But you wouldn't think of him as one of the greatest point guards ever.
John Stockton.
John Stockton. There you go. We got it, buddy. We got it. Yeah.
It's been a while since I got off.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know.
It wasn't for the hints, I don't think I'd have got any of
them. Yeah. Well, you know, I was surprised there weren't more basketball players with the number 12 that were prominent. But, hey, I can only play the hand that I'm dealt here. So
it's true. Kind of like cards.
Yep, exactly. So engaging your student body, Tony, we all want to have big crowds at our games, especially if we're varsity coaches. It's important to get that crowd support, that community support behind us. Engaging that student body, nothing is better than on a Friday night rivalry game, students up and cheering and being loud and getting after it. That's what makes high school basketball just awesome, in my opinion, Tony.
100%. Friday night, you know, you got the popcorn smell wafting the gym. You've got a student section that's you know, lots of energy, positively cheering for your team and stuff like that. Not a whole lot better on a Friday night.
Nope. No. So how, we have some schools that have great student sections. You have some schools with really good programs that really don't have a lot of student support for various different reasons. What can we do, Tony, to engage our students and our student bodies and get them active in our games? I, as always, Tony, I've got 8 or 9 things written down here, but I can let you go first this week if you'd like.
Yeah, I think the very first thing to do is to give them a section. I think that's the first thing, you know, in your gym is to give them a section, because let's be honest, you don't want them dispersed amongst the other folk that are there because it's going to make it a bad deal for both of them. Because as soon as you're going to want to stand, a lot of your, you know, seasoned and experienced crowd is going to want to sit and be entertained. Students are going to want to be up and involved and proactive in it. And so if you can get them all together and then kind of separate them out, I think that's the big thing. You know, as you run across variety of places at the college level that have issues, the University of Iowa being one of them, I think that's one of the big things that Iowa's dropped the ball on, is the fact that they don't have a designated student section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. And I mean, Carver Hawkeye is a bit of a dated facility, built in, I believe, 1983 or 1984. So it's like 40 years old. But they should be able to do something, don't you think, Tony?
Yeah, you would think, put them down close to the floor, do something, make it a place that your students want to be at. Because, I mean, if you take a look at Iowa has a really good student section at their football game, and so you would think that it would kind of translate over. I mean, Iowa is, you know, don't be wrong, they're not a powerhouse at the college basketball, but they have an above average program that usually makes the NCAA tournament, don't really win many games in it, but they usually make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they've been good. They've been solid. Now, a lot of Iowa fans will remind you that it's been, you know, Fran's been there how many years and he still has yet to be to a Sweet 16. But, you know, I agree. And I think my first thing, Tony, is, and it's the proverbial what comes first, the chicken or the egg. I've always believed you've got to give them a reason to show up. You've got to play good ball. You can't sit there and go, hey, you know, come and watch us play, but we play really sloppily and we don't do things the right way. And, you know, all of that type of stuff. I think one of the things that sometimes as coaches, we get caught up in the peripheral stuff, and this can be one of those things that you can get caught up with. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And before you worry about having a big student crowd and doing this and doing that, you got to take care of business by just making sure your team's playing good basketball. And, you know, we're both Iowa guys. If you build it, they will come. Well, if you play well, they will come, even if it's not the most aesthetically pleasing. One of the guys I used to work for, he had a great phrase. You know, winning has 1,000 fathers, but losers are orphans, or something like that. And everybody loves to support a winner. So I think one of the biggest things that you can do, whether you're winning games 42-40 or 72-70, is just play good ball and win first and foremost. And I think that takes care of a lot of that student support, because people want to come out and support winning teams.
Yeah, I mean, and it helps if you put a product out there that's, you know, aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, you got guys or gals who dive on the floor, they play the game really, really hard. And I think people like that. They like that blue collar work ethic. And it sure doesn't hurt if you can put the ball in the hole consistently. If you are a high scoring team, you play a style of ball that people like to watch, I think that also helps people get out in the crowd and support your team as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And again, it's, you know, well, I like you as a coach, but your games are boring to be at because there's hardly anybody here. So again, it's like that chicken or the egg type of a thing. You know, what comes first? Do you need the great crowd to get your players excited about playing for your program? Or do you have the players and have them come afterwards, have the players come, you know, afterwards? You know, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I feel like you play good ball first and you worry about the other stuff later. And then you give them something to get excited about coming to watch and all of that. So what else did you have, buddy?
I think you got to make the environment fun as mm-hmm. well. And there's a variety of things you can do. One that I'll touch on here briefly would just be have some theme nights, you know, whether it's a whiteout, a blackout, Hawaiian shirt night, jersey night, whatever it may be. And mm-hmm. I remember going to state tournament one year, in the student section was large, one of the teams that we were watching, and they had 4 shirts on. First quarter was this out, second quarter was that out, third quarter was a different one, and fourth quarter was something completely on its own. And I thought that was a lot of fun, and that was probably the best student section I've ever seen at the state tournament. They filled up multiple sections, and they were really, really into it. It was just cool. I caught on, obviously, about the second quarter and then started to pay attention to what the different themes were per quarter, and just thought it was really a cool thing. And I think those theme and nights are just so very, very important. It's one of those things where you have a light, fun environment. It's a place people want to be because, you know, if you play in a city, you're competing with a lot of different things that are out there, and people have you know, different things to go and spend their money on, and you want to give them a reason to make it be your ball game.
Yeah. You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow. The town is 2 miles that way. Just referencing you noticing the student body there. So, I had something along that same line, Tony. Create traditions with your student body. You know, you have like the Duke kids when somebody's taking the ball out next to the Cameron Crazies, they do the fingers thing right at them, or you know, different, you know, just different things that they do when free throws go up, or you know, I just traditions. And the more that you could do that, and the more you could do those fun type of things, people want to buy into that. And so I really agree with you there, Tony, kind of piggybacking on what you were saying with that and adding on to it a little bit. So, as we enter into this holiday season, coaches, you know what would make a great gift for you this year? It would be a copy of Kings of Their Court, the story of the 2020-2021 season here in Omaha, 3 ranked teams in the top 25 in the country. And you're going to hear the personal and professional stories of players like Hunter Salas and Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, William Kyle, coaches like Tim Cannon, Josh Ludke, and Doug Woodard. Yeah, just a terrific, terrific story. A crazy time period in our country with quarantine, politics, George Floyd, and everything in between. Yours for only $19.99. Go to Amazon, go to Books, look up Kings of Their Court, and order a copy of that today. It's going to be a great stocking stuffer for you, for somebody that you love. Tell your wife, tell your spouse, tell your kids, hey, I would love to have a copy of this book and have something to read here and to just read about a great basketball story. Kings of Their Court, available on Amazon.com today. I really think that another big thing that you can do is use your social media accounts, Instagrams, X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it. Use that to get your student body, your community excited about that. Get them engaged. Like you were saying, if you're going to do the t-shirt night, what's the theme for tonight? Oh, it's Hawaiian night. All right, and make sure you put that on there for the student body. Using that social media, see if you can get a student who is really good with media and likes to do it, and see if they can like take videos of your student body and put together. I think the kids call it these days the hype videos, and string that together, and that it gets your student body engaged, your school community engaged as well. So using that social media, using that technology, I think that's a great thing that you can do as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can show highlights of the last home game and, the environment and, put out there wish you were here type thing. And so, yeah, you can do that, kind of build the hype as you get ready to go into that next game. I think that's a big thing, too. Like you said, social media, game day countdowns, and just make sure you are involved in that stuff. And, you've talked before about how you would delegate out different leadership things, and social media is one of the things that you had mentioned previously. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. What else you got, buddy?
Some other things to think about too. Do you want them there once in a while, or do you want them there consistently? And some of the things you can do would be, whether it's a loyalty program or reward type mm-hmm. thing where, if they come to however many, they get a free hat, or maybe you're going to offer the student section cheese pizza or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be something that breaks the bank account by any means, but in some of your fundraising, that might be something you think of as, hey, with this fundraising, we can do a cheese pizza night. That might get more people in the crowd. We can do a free hat if you make it to, say you have 10 home games. If you make it to 80% or more of the home games, get rewarded with a free hat. I think those are things you can do too. And that doesn't, that helps to get them there, not just a one-time thing, but a consistently thing.
Yeah. I had that, like a pizza feed, a surprise, 5 minutes before the game starts and they don't know it's coming. All of a sudden the Domino's guy shows up with a bunch of pizza in hand or something. And, the kids that are actually there for the game are, oh, hey, whoa, this is pretty cool, type of a deal. Pizza, or you could get some t-shirts for a theme night, the Cougar Crazies or whatever you might have there at Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Just different things like that where, like you said, Tony, you got to spend a little bit of money on it, but a lot of people are fundraising. A lot of people have those accounts, and those are ways that you can engage your community and get people excited about what you're doing with that as well. So yeah, kind of piggybacking on that again, just a random pizza, and they're like, oh God, if we go to the girls basketball game, we might get pizza. Hey, it's not a given. Yeah. You can only do that so many times, but so yeah, it's something that can be done if you are smart about it. And again, I think the best thing is making it a surprise as well. Just catching them off guard and that's the best that you can have, is that's the good stuff, so.
You can also do stuff with like your style of play. I mean, you've always heard of the tees for threes. If your team normally shoots the three and shoots at a pretty good clip, that might be a t-shirt cannon thing. You shoot out into the crowd after you knock down threes, and that will get people to come, because who doesn't love free t-shirts, free pizza, and different things that you can do to kind of engage the crowd and make sure, like we said, it's a fun environment, it's a raucous environment, and one that people want to be at.
I it always amazes me when we go to a Creighton basketball game and you know, we're in that lower bowl and there's a lot of dentists and lawyers and doctors, and they're losing their mind over the $4 Lawler's t-shirts that are coming out of the t-shirt gun or the cannon, you know. But you're right though, Tony. Tony hits a three. And next dead balls, one of the cheerleader takes a t-shirt and just chucks it up into the student section, stuff like that, that you can have ready to go. And just, again, it engages your student body. It gets them excited, I think another thing you can do to engage your student body is talk to your leaders of the school in school and talk to them about how important it is to try and get people out there. You got Jimmy, who's the best football player, but let's say he's wrestling or whatever. Hey, we got Prairie on Friday night. Go out there. Let's get everybody hyped here. Can you help me out? Can you help bring people in? And you'd be amazed, especially if they're really, really good kids, how willing they are to spread the word and encourage people. Hey, I'm going to tip off is at 6. Let's get there at 5:30 and let's start making some noise during pregame warmups or whatever. But I think one of the things I've always tried to do at my stops is to have a good line and a good relationship with the leaders of the school, especially your upperclassmen leaders who have sway, have influence. And if they're going to be there, that helps bring out other people. And so I think that it's important that you, reach out to those people, get them on your side, and try to get them to engage their friends and their peers to try and get them out and watch you play.
No doubt. Like you said, if you can find those kids in the school who are popular and who can generate some energy and get others involved, it makes it so much better for that home court environment.
Yep. Yep. What else you got, bud?
Another one, and you wouldn't be able to do this all the time, but some of those pep rallies before the game, maybe it's your winter pep rally, you have a big game, 2 top 5 teams or whatever, but to have, some of that stuff going on too, and just, work with your AD, work with your administration to get those things involved ahead of time. I think that's another way to get publicity out there and to get people looking forward to the game and get a good crowd there so that they can help be that, sixth man, so to speak, in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Talk to them. And that kind of brings me to my next point is not only talk to people at like pep rallies and those formal situations, but when you get the opportunity, and I'm not saying obviously your first job is to teach, but take time in your classes, if you're a teacher, take time in your classes to talk about your team with your classes. Talk about how, hey, Billy's doing some really great things, and we got it, Prairie's got this, and this number 22 from Lindmark can really, really shoot it, and we really need to get out on him. And yeah, I thought we played pretty well the night against Davenport North, but they beat us on the, just different things that you could do there, Tony, to get your students excited about it, to talk to them about it. You're going to be hard pressed to find, and they are out there. They do exist. Anytime that you're willing to talk about something other than your academic material in your classroom, most students are going to be okay with that. If you're not talking about, in my case, the Declaration of Independence or the fall of Germany at the end of World War II, most kids are going to be like, oh, okay, I can talk a little basketball here for a few minutes if that'll keep me away from what Mr. Plum really has planned on going on today. And I think students appreciate that human side of you, and it helps put a little humanity to you as a coach, as a teacher. This is something that's important to me, and boy, I think it'd be great for you to come out and support us on Friday night when we do have this big rivalry game.
Yeah, I like that. You know, if they can see that side, what's important to you, and like you said, show some of that humanness that we have, as far as, you know, or more than, you know, teacher, you know, as far as things go, we also coach and then help them to see the full side and, you know, engage with them a little bit besides sometimes the content material of the day. I don't think you want to do it every day, but, you know, every once in a while, I don't think it's necessarily a bad time. Like you said, just kind of break the monotony up a little bit. We have block schedule, and so we have an hour and 35 minutes. And so we'll build in some brain breaks here and there. And I think that's not a bad thing to do every once in a while.
As I tell my students, deep within this black hole of a soul, there lies a faintly beating heart which bleeds sympathy for most of you. And those of you that I don't, you get to go along for the ride, you know. Yeah, I've got one more thing, Tony. How much you got left?
I got one or two more.
Okay.
The first one I would go with would be this. I think you can do some fun things at halftime. Mm. You know, maybe it's a layup, a three-pointer, a half-court shot. You know, if they can do that. And I don't know, we have a 35-second shot clock. So if you give them 35 seconds, they get all three of those made. Maybe you want to cut it down so you're not having them chuck too many balls off the shot clock from half court. But you can cut that down a little bit. But I think that's something, if they do all three of those, maybe they get a free slice of pizza, or maybe they get, you know, something. I think those fun competitions, and then, you know, they have to pay a dollar to do it or whatever, and might be a way for you to make some money too, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, 50-50 raffles. There's a lot of stuff that you could do with that half day. That's a great one. You can have your feeder teams come in and play. You know, I was watching yesterday, we were watching the Creighton women play Wisconsin Green Bay, and it was on ESPN Plus. So they were kind of showing the gym at halftime, and they had some like sixth grade team run an 11 man break at halftime of the Wisconsin Green Bay Creighton women's game. So that was pretty cool to see it. And that's a great thing, that it'll get parents into the stands, and it gets the kids excited about your program. The high school kids, hey, really, you know, and again, something you can talk about in class. Hey, the sixth graders are going to be out there playing at halftime. You should stick around and really cheer them on and make them feel special and all of that type of stuff. So yeah, I like that one, Tony. That's a good one. So,
and you could do dance teams too. I mean, those parents will come in, and like you said, the feeder teams and different things. Just, you know, you could do a camp night where if the kids, you know, came to camp, they get in free. Just got to wear their camp shirt as they come in. But yeah, there's a variety of things you could do.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that when you do, even when you don't get a great crowd, but people want to be appreciated, right, Tony? I mean, they want to know that they're valued. And one of the things I was really, really cognizant of, especially at my last job, I tried, and I'm not perfect, you know, but I really tried to say thank you to our students when we would have a really good crowd, win or lose, you know, and it's not their fault if we lost, and you know, just being appreciative, like you said. People can take their time and effort and energy and do a lot of different things with it, but these are people that are choosing to come and spend their time with you watching your team play. So I was, you know, social media, hey, thanks so much to the FC community for coming out and watching us play. Would have never done it without you. Thank you so much. Crowd was great on Friday tonight. Blah, 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 you know, whatever it may be. But you know, on my board, I got this, it's kind of cool. There's some special kind of paint that they put on a section of our wall, and you could take like a dry erase marker and it'll erase off of that, you know? And so, you know, put a lot of that stuff up there, but also say, hey, thanks so much. Last night was awesome. Students were great. We play at home again Friday night. Would love to see another great crowd, or, you know, whatever that may be. But saying thank you is such an undervalued thing. There's been times where I would walk off the court, and as I was walking to the locker room, I would stand in front of the student body. Thank you so much. You kids were great tonight. Awesome. Loved it. Thank you so very much. Our girls really appreciate it. You know, so I think whatever you decide to do and however you decide to communicate your desire for engaging in the student body, say thank you. Thank you to the Domino's guy for delivering. Thank you to the t-shirt guy for printing up the t-shirts. Thank you to whoever's running your halftime festivities for the 30-second Papa shot or whatever it may be. And again, when those students show out, really, really take the time to appreciate them and thank them for all that they've done with their time. Because like I said, they could be anywhere. They choose to be with you.
Yeah. And like you said, Marty, it's one of the things I think maybe we've lost a little bit is that gratitude and telling people who do things for us, take tickets, make sure the locker rooms are picked up and clean, whatever. Just make sure you take the time to tell people that, thank you and what it means to you.
Mm-hmm.
The last one that I had, you can have like a poster night, and then have your players set tables up after the game is over and sign the poster and thank, whoever it wants to stick around afterwards as they go through that line. Maybe it's a little kid, maybe it's a peer, maybe it's parents, maybe it's, whomever, and just have that table. And I think that's another thing that goes a long way too. And just sign those posters for the fans and stuff. And I think that's something cause the community to rally around a team like that as well.
Mm-hmm. I kind of reminds me of my boy band days, Tony, when I would have to sit there and sign my autograph over and over again.
In think? 98 degrees.
We were kind of a poor man's version of 98 degrees. We were known as hypothermia.
Oh,
we couldn't match up with we just couldn't, we only had one minor hit. It was a remake of Happy Birthday. It charted solidly on the Swedish charts.
Oh, you're an ABBA.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. we are the dancing queen. Yeah. Coaches, you know just as well as I do that we're always looking for new and different ways to motivate our players and programs. But sometimes it's hard to find that perfect source that we're looking for. Over the past 25 years, I've collected hundreds of handouts to help motivate my players and programs. And now I'd like to share some of my favorites with you. The A Pen and a Napkin 101 Best Handouts booklet is now available to you for only $15. In this booklet, you'll find motivational material for all types of situations and individuals to help you communicate your values to your players and program. For ordering information, you can either DM me on Twitter or email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com for details. Well, you know who else is from Europe, Tony? Or from, crap.
You going to Europe?
What are we talking about, Tony?
We're talking about involving the crowd.
Well, I know, but who else is from Sweden that is awesome?
Europe.
You know, of the 85 or 90 times that I've done that transition, that I think would rank number one on the worst transition I've ever done.
I was confused for a second.
Hey.
That's hard to do.
You have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Is that the student section?
You got me hacking up along now, so it is time for some trivia. Hopefully the trivia will be a lot better. It'll be a lot better than what we just did there the last minute or two. Mr. Viss, are you ready for a trivia question?
I am.
Okay.
So I've been watching men's college basketball here in the beginning part of the season.
Hold on. Is it my turn for trivia or is it your turn?
I thought I was about to ask. The last time I thought you asked last.
Did I?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
I could be wrong though.
I tell you what, let's just ask each other. Okay, let's just ask each other a question, and we'll just go ahead and do that. How about that?
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So As I've watched the first part of the college basketball season, to me, it seems that the conference that's head and shoulders better than any of the other Power Four conferences would be the SEC. So, Marty, what I'm wondering here tonight, when is the last time the SEC won a men's college basketball championship?
So one of my favorite teams of all time was Patino's 96 Kentucky team, but Florida won it in 2007. I'm just working this out here in my own brain here, Tony. 2008, I think, is when they repeated. God, the SEC, what do they have, like 96 teams in it now?
Pretty close.
Not LSU, not Arkansas. Not Ole Miss, Mississippi State, not Alabama, not Auburn, not Tennessee. I'm going to go with Billy Donovan's Florida Gators in 2008.
You are incorrect.
Oh, God, do I? Okay, I get another crack at it, though. Not Texas A&M, not LSU. Yeah, not Georgia, National champ, Tennessee, Kentucky. Kentucky didn't win it. I'm going to kick myself in the tuchus when you tell me the answer, Tony, but I don't know.
Correct answer is 2012 with Anthony Davis and the Kentucky Wildcats led by John Calipari.
Okay. Okay. Well, my trivia question for you, because apparently we both thought, yes. This is kind of the way I feel right now, Tony.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow. The town is back that way.
Mine also deals with the SEC, but it's on the women's side. We landed on the moon. Yeah. Tennessee women, they are back in the top 25. This last week, they were ranked 19th. What is amazing, Tony, is we had talked about this, mainstays for most of our adult life. All of our adult life. But they were out of the poll for 22 consecutive polls, Tony, which is far and away the longest streak that they have had. Here's the trivia question, Tony. Since the women's poll began, what percentage of the time has Tennessee been ranked in the women's poll?
Ooh. Let's go 97.
Too high.
94.
Still too high.
Wow. 92.
Barely too high. 89.5 is the correct answer. So 779 out of 870 polls, the Tennessee women were ranked. And that is taking out, that includes the 22 that they were not ranked here since the last time that they were ranked before this week was November 27th, 2023. So almost over 2 years it's been since they've been ranked in the top 25. And they're finally, so, you know, whatever percentage that would be, which right now I don't think any math is safe with us. So I'm not even going to try that right now. No, I think that's a good idea. If I would say this, if Mel Allen saw our math right now, he would say,
"How about that?"
So yeah, we don't want to go there. All right, let's our TWIB segment this week here. We've got the NBA Cup. We have the surging Milwaukee Bucks in the finals against. I think you picked Oklahoma City, didn't you, Tony?
I thought I went with Dallas.
You might have gone with Dallas. Jeez, we are just on fire tonight. Milwaukee is, again, resurgent, kind of got healthy, got Chris Middleton back. They take out Atlanta. Oklahoma City knocks off Houston. They are playing extremely well. And again, kind of the difference is they don't have perhaps their second best player in Chet Holmgren right now. And they are still rolling. They knocked off the Rockets by 15 yesterday. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is good. He is really, really good. And we've got kind of the young up-and-comers against the team that is trying to make one more run here, Tony. What do you think, my man?
I'm going OKC. Yeah. You know, I just think that Milwaukee's a little bit too inconsistent. The one thing, I was impressed, though, that they got Atlanta. Atlanta's a lot better than what I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit nervous for them when they lost to Murray.
Yeah,
when he went to the Pelicans. But I really like that trade for him as I see what Dyson Daniels has brought to the team. Mm-hmm. And Trae Young's playing at a really high level. But I just think that Oklahoma City is to me an elite team. I see them as one of the 2-3 best teams in the NBA, and I think their depth. And I just don't know if Milwaukee defensively is going to have an answer for Shai. And then you go through and take a look. They're strength in numbers with OKC. That depth is so very, very key for them.
Yeah, they are just loaded. They were, you're talking about Dyson Daniels. I was listening to Brian Windhorst podcast, I think this morning, and he said that Dyson Daniels is leading the NBA in touches in tips, and like the next closest person behind him is almost like 50 tips away or something like that, and so they've kind of, Atlanta has figured some things out, how to play off of Trae Young. How to let him thrive, I guess, a little bit, being ball dominant, but putting good defenders around him. But Oklahoma City is just, they're just a monster. They are just a monster. And like I said, Hartenstein has come in. He has been the perfect player for this situation for them. Shai is Shai. They've got depth. They played 10 guys at least 9 minutes yesterday, which is hard to do in an NBA game. Alex Caruso, 20 minutes off the bench, he's plus 16. He didn't even score, and Caruso was plus 16 off the bench for Oklahoma City. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy statistic. They are just really, really good, really, really deep. And I think you're right, Tony. I think that they are going to beat Milwaukee on, I think it's Tuesday night. I think we're both in agreement there, and let's see what happens, but they'll probably prove us wrong and they'll end up winning. So, Caitlin Clark, the athlete of the year, according to Time Magazine. Tony, what do you think?
I think it's very well deserved. I mean, she's one who lives under a microscope, and with being under that microscope, the way that she, carries herself and then understands the history of the game, kind of throws the flowers to those that she stood on the shoulders of giants to do what she does. And the thing that's always kind of puzzling to me, I mean, if you go through and take a look in the NBA, when Magic and Larry helped it gain traction and popularity, they're very much accepted by their peers, and there was nobody complaining about the extra income they were getting. And I just kind of sit back still and I shake my head a little bit. The owner of the Mystics, I could not believe her comments. I didn't get it, but it is what it is.
I think she's done an outstanding job of, like you said, Tony, giving the Lisa Leslies and the Maya Moores and Tina Thompson and whomever have come before her. She has gone well beyond that. But just like the NBA to a degree, the NBA turned in 1980 with Larry and Magic coming into the league. That doesn't diminish what Bill Russell did or Wilt Chamberlain or Jerry West, but for whatever reason, those players captured the imagination of everybody, you know, and it helped that they went to the two marquee franchises. But I agree with you in that I don't understand those comments, in the sense of, you know, you have to be really, I don't know what, how am I trying to say this here, Tony? There's a direct correlation between what Caitlin Clark has done and what has happened with the popularity of the women's game. And there's a lot of really, really good players. It was coming. It was coming here with Breanna Stewart, with, you know, Diana Taurasi having a great career for as long as she did with the Phoenix Mercury. But Caitlin was the tipping point, you know, and though, you know, people had to put it in a place to give Caitlin the opportunity to tip it, but she's the one that tipped it. And I think that, I mean, we're watching games, the league is expanding, and we would probably watch games anyway, but we didn't miss a second of the WNBA finals. I can't honestly tell you I would have done that in years past if it wasn't for the attention that the game has gotten over the last couple of years. And that's just me. That's even me as a basketball junkie. I couldn't say that. I'd be lying if I said, even 2 years ago, we would have watched every second of the WNBA finals as a family. My wife wanted to watch, you know, so I think what's the one variable that has changed in the equation? It's Caitlin Clark. And she is, much like I think we fail, we give LeBron a lot of his flowers, for everything that he's accomplished on the floor. And he well-deserved, absolutely, you know, but I think one of the things we have not done a very good job of giving LeBron enough credit for in his career is this guy was under a microscope even before Caitlin Clark was. I mean, he was 15, 16 years old and they were saying, you know, he's the next coming. I mean, how many entertainers have we seen that have been famous at 14, 15, 16 and have turned out to be just an absolute dumpster fire? And here LeBron altogether has handled his situation with grace, with dignity. He's never been in trouble. He's you know, never put himself in a situation where he's embarrassed the franchise or anything like that. And, you know, if the worst thing you can say about that right now is, yeah, you know, the decision when he left Cleveland to go to Miami. Okay. Wow. That's a pretty good track record over 25 years of being in the public spotlight, starting when he was 15, 16 years old. And again, time will tell, you know, in 6 months, he might've done something really, really stupid. And that take might just be out the window. But as of right now, and I think Caitlin Clark altogether has handled her situation tremendously, tremendously well.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think people realize how tough living under a microscope like that. You would think they would snap and do something. And you have people digging through all kinds of things, trying to unearth skeletons out of their closet, and they have not done that yet. And, you know, you go through and you take a look at Caitlin Clark giving her shoes away, signing jerseys for everybody until there's nobody left that wants her autograph, and just the things that she's done. I mean, she's been a great, great ambassador for the game of women's basketball, and it's needed it because, you know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, with the popularity of women's basketball, high school women's basketball, I should say, dipping, you hope that she inspires a generation and can help keep that sport alive and help it thrive and be healthy again.
Uh-huh. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Tony, where is Jimmy Butler going? He put out a list of places he'd like to go. Phoenix, Dallas, Houston, Golden State. Is it one of those places? Is it somewhere else? Or is he staying put in Miami?
You know, he had orange hair the other day. So if I'm reading the tea leaves, I'm going Phoenix. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be whatever. Jimmy's a good player. Playoff Jimmy is really, really good. But sometimes regular season Jimmy can be kind of a headache. And I think the Heat have grown tired of the sitcom, if you will,
yeah,
and are looking to move him. But he's pretty pricey, and it's a short-term rental. Jimmy's best days, he's got a lot of miles on those tires.
Yeah. I honestly, you know, is the bang worth the buck? You know, is the juice worth the squeeze? I don't know if it is at this point, to be perfectly honest, in my opinion. Again, I would say the same things. He's a talented player. Playoff Jimmy has proven to be awesome, but he's 35 going on 36, and he played for Thibodeau for a few years, which you got to add on a couple extra years at least play for Tibbs. I think Golden State would be the most logical fit because they'd have a bunch of guys in the locker room. They'd be like, all right, shut up, Jimmy. You know, Draymond and Steph have that chutzpah, if you will, in the locker room. Yeah, the credibility. I don't, you know, Phoenix can't afford him, and they don't have anything to offer him. Dallas may be a possibility, but again, are they going to be able? And, you know, and the trades are harder. I was listening to, oh, it might have been Windhorst again. I can't remember, but he was talking about how difficult it is for teams to trade players now, in the season, especially because of this first apron, second apron, however that works. But I think Golden State might be the franchise that might, you know, because they've got their whole strength in numbers. We've got 11, 12 guys that we could put out there. You know, I would think Kuminga would have to be one of the centerpieces of that, you know, going the other direction. But they're due for a 3-for-1 consolidation trade of some sort. It's just, can they work the math out? But I think that would maybe be the best. Now, if he goes to Golden State and it's Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy with four other dudes that can be good role players for him, that changes the calculus a little bit in the Western Conference. So
Schroeder yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, and so maybe they take a look at it. They realize that the window's closing, and maybe they do it. But I think the guy they wouldn't mind getting rid of that they kind of hitched up to and let Clay go, but Potts hasn't been that good, for them. And so I think if they could keep Kuminga, but him and Kuminga and Wiggins kind of play that same spot. So I don't know what would happen if you could do a Potts and maybe a Moses Moody.
Yeah,
that might be something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a pretty big math equation. So we'll let the people who are smarter than us figure that out. Which
99%.
Yeah, based on our podcasting performance tonight, it ain't gonna take much. So UConn, Notre Dame, renewal of an old Big East rivalry here for the women's side. Notre Dame comes out on top by, I believe it was 11. Hannah Hidalgo had a monster game, 29-10-8, almost a triple-double. Her and Olivia Miles might be the best backcourt in the country. I would lean towards yes, they are the best backcourt in the country, and they knock off Connecticut in South Bend. Crazy game, crazy environment, and I think both of these teams are going to be in the mix at the end here, and it's just great to see parity. It's great to see UConn drop a game in the season, and I think this is just going to continue to evolve. I think we're going to see a lot more of this, Tony.
Yeah, and it's a great rivalry. You know, we had the UConn-Tennessee thing, and then Tennessee, you know, dropped a little bit, and Notre Dame kind of grabbed that mantle, and that was a big rivalry, you know, with the great players that both of those universities have produced. And to be honest with you, I thought this was a little bit of an upset here. I thought UConn would get them. People had said that UConn was the best team in the country. I didn't completely agree with that. I think UCLA happens to be at that spot right now. Maybe South Carolina if they get a rematch. But anyway, but Hannah Hidalgo put a claim out there that she might be a player of the year candidate, and was the best player on the floor the other night.
Yeah. I just love the parity, you know. I love seeing, you know, it's great to see these teams going head to head against each other. We got UConn and South Carolina later on in the season. I love the way that they're not ducking one another. And, you know, UCLA here in the Big Ten, which is just sounds dumb, you know, but, one of my buddies on our committee text chain, he put out there, yesterday it was UCLA against Arizona. You got to love these, Big 12 versus Big 10 matchups, you know, you know, but it's, like I said, I'm really excited about the parity. I think it's great for the women's game. Again, that Caitlin Clark effect. There's more talented players, more talented guards, more skill out there than we've ever seen. And we're going to see more and more of this type of stuff here. You know, Notre Dame lost to TCU. They lost to Utah. So it's terrific in my opinion, but that's, you know, that's just me.
100%. Because I mean, you could sit back and easily get three, if not all four, of the women's Final Four teams. You just would chalk it through, and now you have to sit back and you have to take it in. There's going to continue to be upsets, and I think, like you said, it's going to increase viewership and increase the quality of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're moving on out to Easter.
Tony, who are you up on this week?
I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay. They had a season from down south last year with anything that could go wrong did. And this year they have bounced back in a big way. They are currently second in the West on a four-game win streak and have won 9 of their last 10. And they still have some guys on the injured list that when they come back will make them even better. So I have moved Memphis up in my standings.
Very much. This is the team that 2 or 3 years ago, this is what everybody envisioned. You know, they were kind of the Oklahoma City before Oklahoma City, you know, and then, Ja had his legal issues followed by injury issues. And he is obviously the straw that stirs the drink. I think it was on somebody's podcast, but nobody on Memphis is averaging more than 28 or 29 minutes a game. They're playing 10, 11, 12 guys. They've drafted well. They're another team that's a consolidation type of team, you know, put together a consolidation trade. Jaren Jackson is playing well. Ja is back to Ja-like numbers. Desmond Bane, they've just got a really, really good roster top to bottom. Scottie Pippen Jr. has been a tremendous addition to their team. I agree with you there. That's a good call. Here is my up this week, Tony. I don't, whether you like him or not, I think you have to be happy for the overall good of the game and the state of the game. And it has come out that Dick Vitale is cancer free, and that he is hoping to get back on the sidelines here. I think for a, you know, I think in the 80s, I think he was a really good announcer. Like, I enjoyed listening to his calls, and then as time went on, it kind of became more about the show and not about the knowledge of the game. But you know, college basketball would not be where it has been without Dick Vitale, without a doubt. Kind of the Harry Carey, if you will, to a degree, of college basketball, that charismatic person that you just tune in to listen to them just talk about the game, and they're bigger than life personality. And so very happy to hear that for Coach Vitale, and hopefully we get to hear him on a call here pretty soon.
Yes, you know, I agree with you. I think in the 80s, one of, if not the premier, color commentator. And then, like you said, the shtick became more than went over the substance. But the one thing I think everybody can agree on, he's a great ambassador for the game of basketball.
Yep, absolutely. Who are you down on, Tony?
I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans. They have only won 5 games all year long and are currently 1-9 in their last 10 and have lost 4 in a row. And it seems like everybody on that roster is injured, it seems like, at least the key guys.
Yeah. They are throwing deck chairs off the Titanic right now in New Orleans. It is not good. And obviously, you know, they made the big gamble with Zion Williamson, and who would not have made that draft choice? Everybody would have made that draft choice.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. It's kind of like if you ever doubted signing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you're full of crap if you said you wouldn't have done that, because you would have done it as well if you were in charge of the LA Clippers at that time. It is bad, and it's not going up anywhere soon. One of their prize trade chips is supposed to be Brandon Ingram, but they can't give him away. And I know they want some return on investment, but it's really, really not good in the Bayou right now. And that's a franchise that has struggled to find traction within the community. It's one of the smallest cities in the league, if not maybe the smallest city in the league, and they've struggled with attendance, and they kind of thought that they had this all figured out, and Zion was playing great in that play-in game last year against the Lakers, and then he pulls that hamstring again, and man, it's just, they just cannot catch a break, and it looks like they're going to have to blow it up and start all over again.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best piece of advice would be to blow it up and to start things all over again, because it is a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Tony, I'm going to jump on my soapbox here for 1 minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hear that? I'm jumping. It's there. I'm jumping. Yeah. Okay.
Good vert.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. 12 inches it was measured at the College Basketball Hall of Fame in Kansas City a few years ago. So got a nosebleed. I got up so high. Quit messing with the NCAA tournament. They are now talking to, you know, they moved it to 68. Okay. Still don't like it too much, but okay. Now they're talking 72 or even 76 teams. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop it right now. Stop it. You've got to, there's got to be some sort of bar. There's got to be some specialness to it. And you know what? If you want to get into the NCAA tournament, play well all season. If you want to get in the NCAA tournament, do well in your conference tournament. Everybody has a chance to get in the NCAA tournament, because every league in the country has a conference tournament to try and play your way into the NCAA tournament. So if you really deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, you're going to play well for most of the season, and you're going to do well in your conference tournament. Now, I understand there are some situations at times where, you know, a player gets hurt at an inopportune time, or a team, it happened to me 1 year where I had first team All-Stater, tore ACL before the season started. That's not that we were going to be a 20-win team, and we ended up winning 12. And that was the difference. You say next man up or next woman up, and sometimes there ain't anybody to be brought up into that type of situation. But I digress. I'm still on my soapbox. Quit messing with the NCAA tournament. Quit talking about expanding it. Go back to 64 teams. Just go. It was perfect. 16 teams in a region. Everybody had to win 6 games. Let's just quit messing with it. Bring it back to what it was. Please. Thank you. There, I jumped off my soapbox, Tony.
That was good, and I 100% endorse that message. Yeah. Leave it alone. It's as close to perfection as we have.
Yes. Episode number 112, Tony, engaging the student body. Any wise words to part with tonight?
Gave a lot of different ideas there, but you know, one of the things that's tough is going into a gym where the student section is rowdy and loud, and it's a great environment to play in. And it would be fun to have that every single night at home for your team.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly agree. I think we threw out some really good ideas, and you know, a lot of those are not original ideas, but hopefully if you hadn't heard them, you know, take it and run with it, and good luck with that. It's again, there's nothing better than a Friday night in January and February, and having a big crowd and communities getting into it. So take that, run with it, coaches. Episode 112. Again, we want to thank our sponsor, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, All American Used Cars and Trucks. If you're in the Omaha area, and if you need your car repaired, go to 90th and Fort, just south of there. If you're looking for a new automobile, go out to 144th and I-80, and they're going to help you out there. So episode 112 in the books. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hold our craft one day at a time.